Welcome to an episode of Phenomenal Grit, conversations with the women of the Ascot Limited. The future is bright because Quest
is the best. Kate Campbell, welcome back to Phenomenal Grit. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm ready to get stuck in.
Let's do it. Okay, so today we're going to talk about improving in small increments. Put together 5 more fast questions.
Great.
Remember, it's only one answer. You have to pick. Seconds or milliseconds?
Seconds. I want as much time as possible.
Team or personal?
Personal.
Good for you. That felt real.
Yeah, I'm just admitting to everyone that I'm selfish, but that's okay.
No. Coach or introspective? Like, do you like instructed or improved based on feeling?
I technically like both, in that I like getting feedback from other people and then making sense of it myself.
Okay. So you're sitting on the fence again.
I am sitting on the fence, but if I had to pick one, I'm going to say introspective.
Yes. Okay. I feel the same way. That's why I got a yes.
Excellent.
There. Overnight improvement or like over long periods of time?
Oh, if I could improve overnight, absolutely I'd pick that. But my experience tells me that it happens over a long period of time.
Okay. Listening, viewing, or doing? Like, how do you improve the best?
Doing. Yeah. Like, in training, we call it Kate's play time, and I just have to go and, like, play and figure out things by myself.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Excellent. Improving in small increments. I'm very excited about this. I was thinking maybe we can start with, and again, very broad, but the relationship between concepts maybe of improvement, progress, and like going forward.
Mm.
I know you kind of know what I mean because we talked about this before, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think that it's really difficult to understand that even though we are trying really hard and we're learning things, it's hard to say that sometimes we won't see a forward shift or an upward trajectory. Everyone knows there's that great graph that says like success isn't, you know, from the left-hand side of the axis to a straight upward trajectory to the right-hand side. You know, you go up and down and backwards and squiggle around and all of that. And so I think that it can get disheartening when we're putting in so much time and effort and work and we're not seeing those improvements. But again, it comes back down to like valuing the effort, valuing that time and that energy that we're putting into doing something and understanding that there are lots of different areas that we can grow in, that it doesn't just, you know, for me, it's not just time in the pools. Like that objective time isn't always going to be dropping. You know, one of my favorite stats to throw out, which I actually hadn't thought about for a long time, and then when I tell people, they think that I'm crazy, is that my personal best for the 50 meters freestyle, in the past 15 years, it has improved 0.3 of a second.
You're going to have to kind of help people really grasp what that means.
All right, so 0.3 of a second is about that. That is how much I have improved in my 50 meters freestyle in 15 years. Maybe that makes me crazy because to me, that actually seems like quite a lot. I'm like, yeah, I've done a pretty good job. But most people are like, oh my gosh, imagine just keeping on slogging away at something and seeing such a small amount of improvement or no improvement. You know, there are years where I go backwards and I might go backwards by 0.3 of a second. So yeah, it's one of those really weird relationships with the effort and understanding that it has value independent of like the forward momentum or like moving towards that goal immediately, in that you might not see it today or tomorrow. You might even see it in 3 months. You might not even see it in a year. Hell, I see things like 3 or 4 years later. I'm like, oh yeah, all that time and effort that I've put in, like I'm only just seeing the result of that now.
So have you been conditioned to have this mindset? And this is why I love this podcast, because grit is I mean, I maybe it's celebrated, but at least in my realm, it's not celebrated enough. Mm. This tenacity, this ability to take on failure and continue to go forward. So have you always had that, or is this something that your life has kind of conditioned you, like, okay, 0.3 seconds in 15 years is something to be stoked about?
Yeah. That's a really difficult question, because I've been in this sport for a long time, and I just get really used to, you know, very small margins, as in, like, in my training session this morning, I was, you know, 0.1 or 0.2 off what I should have been. And I was like beating myself up about it, because in my world, that's a completely normal thing. And everyone else looks at me like I'm completely crazy. But I will say that I have gotten better at acceptance in general, whether that's like accepting that the outcome might not be what I wanted, whether it's accepting that today I'm really tired and so it's not going to probably be my best performance and that's okay, whether it's accepting that losing is going to hurt and it's going to feel horrible and it's going to be really painful, but that's okay as well. I think that one of the big myths when it comes to athletes or people in general is that when you look at them and you're like, oh, you know, they must stand up and race. Or I even think of tennis players. They play all the time. They get very good at losing. But I would say that losing hurts every time. You just get better at dealing with that pain and not attaching yourself to it. It's like an acceptance of it, like, this is going to be difficult. But it doesn't mean that I shouldn't pick myself up and try again.
Mm. I've never even thought about acceptance in this realm. This is kind of trippy.
Yeah. And it's something that you don't just, like, it's very well and good to be like, just accept things. And you're like, but how? That's all well and good, but like, how does that happen? And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly and it happens with conscious effort. So, and I'm someone who gets very hung up on a poor performance. If I haven't delivered exactly what I wanted, my brain constantly goes back to it and I want to pick it apart and tear it apart. Where the reality is I can't go back and change that, right? Like, it's in the past. And whether or not that hurts me now in the present is kind of on me. Because if I want to go keep scratching that scab, if I want to keep peeling that off and like licking that wound, instead of being like, okay, this happened, I accept that it's not what I wanted, and I'm going to like consciously move forward, maybe take your learnings from it, like, what are the things that went wrong, but then progress it forward, takes effort and energy, because different people are better at dealing with this. Like, I know some athletes who get over poor performances really quickly. They just kind of shrug it off. It's in the past and they move on. But my tendency is to go back. And so it's like a conscious effort to like accept that that's the past and then move to the present. It's like, and whenever my brain flicks back, it's like, there's there, but we're here now. That's then, we're here now. And the more you do it, the better you get at it.
So hard though.
It's so hard.
It's like,
it's the worst.
Because you can even think you're like beyond it and then wake up at 3 a.m. and be like,
I'm not over it. I would say it's I'm the same, like, if I've had a bad encounter with someone and like, you know, all the things that you want to say and like, and I just go back to it and I'm like, I should have said that and I should have said that and I should have said that. But it, like, it's gone. It's past. It's over. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. I have to accept that it's in the past. Like, let's move to the future. It's like, recognize the past and move to the future. Like, move to the present.
Yeah. That would be a good, like, those questions when people ask you if you had a special power or something to, like, rewind and always have that witty thing to say.
Oh, that would be my dream. To be honest, those things keep me up at night. I'm like, I should have said that there. I should have been funnier here, or wish I was more articulate there.
I love it. Okay. Is there maybe a story that kind of where it was tough for you? And then if you could maybe walk us through the actual functional things you did to maybe get into that realm of acceptance?
Yeah. There are many, but one that I will maybe touch on is from the Tokyo Olympic Games. So I was competing on the last morning of finals. I had the 50 meters freestyle individual. And then a little bit later, about 30 minutes later in the session, I had the women's 4x100 medley relay. So for those of you who don't speak swimming, medley relay is four athletes and we swim each of the different strokes. So it goes backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, freestyle. I swim freestyle. I'm always at the end. I don't mess around with
it. No pressure.
No pressure. But also don't have to mess around with any of the other strokes. So I was swimming the 50 freestyle earlier that evening. I swam my race and I came seventh. And I couldn't point to anything of the process that was wrong. It just didn't happen for me on the day, right? But coming seventh is like a bit of pill to swallow. I was 3/10 of a second off my personal best, and it wasn't what I wanted to deliver in that moment. But I only had sort of 30 minutes to reframe and before I had to go out and compete again. So there are a number of things. Firstly, I allowed myself to sit in that feeling of like anger and hurt and disappointment. Like I gave myself time to indulge in that. And that time was from when I left the pool to when I get to the warm down pool. So to get in the pool and begin, you know, cooling down and getting ready for my next race. And I think that key to acceptance is acknowledgement. When we don't acknowledge something and turn and face it, it continues to sit in the back of our mind and it continues to nag at us. Because our brain is constantly like, hang on, you haven't interrogated that. I'm sending you these messages, but you haven't even looked at me. Like, hello, I'm going to keep ringing you. I'm going to keep buzzing you. I'm going to keep paging you. Whereas I turn and I look at it and I'm like, this is horrible. I feel awful. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. And then once I dive in the warm down pool, that's in the past. Like I've indulged in those feelings. I've lent into it. I've acknowledged it. My brain has recognized that I've seen it. The messages have been seen, heard, received. And now it's time to focus on what needs to happen. And that comes back to focusing on what you need to do in the present moment. And it can be as simple as like, I need to focus on my stroke. I need to feel the water over my skin. What are the things I need to do in warm down? Do I need to do any pace? Do I need to do any skills? All of that. And so taking that attention away from what's happened in the past to putting it on the present and then what needs to happen. And again, like these things take time. And then it's, you know, reaching out to the people around you. I spoke to my coach, I spoke to my teammates, and everyone there was so supportive. And one of our greatest fears when it comes to failure is that people are going to judge us, that they're going to push us away or ostracize us. But I always make sure that I'm in an environment that whatever outcome of the race, like whatever position I've won, that when I come back, people are going to treat me the same way. They're still going to recognize and speak to me and make me feel like I'm seen and valued for who I am, not for what I've done. And so kind of pulling all of those things together, I've seen and I've recognized those emotions, but now is not the time to deal with them. I can move forwards. In the future, when I don't have something to do, maybe there's a time to come back and unpack that pain and that hurt again until it begins to lose its sting, like until it begins to have less of a hold over you, or you have taken all the learnings that you want out of it, and then it can, you know, be shelved away for good.
Mm. Oh, there's so much there. So in a way, only having that 30 minutes was a blessing.
Yeah, it can be. And then, you know, I reframed, refocused. I went out behind the starting blocks. It's actually one of my favorite races of my career was this one. And I'm sorry, we were going against the Americans. And the Americans should have won that event. They're on paper, they were well ahead of us. And like I said, I swim last and the Americans were a couple of lanes over. And they were ahead with one swimmer left to go, so myself and the American. But they weren't that far ahead. And I was just like, ooh, you know what? I reckon it's on here. And one of the most technical parts of a relay is that relay changeover. So it's when the person who's swimming in the water has their touches the wall, and the person on the block can actually begin moving before that swimmer has touched the wall. And the quicker you can get that change, so the least amount of time that there is pressure from the person on the block's feet on the block and the person in the water's hand touching the wall, the faster that changeover is. And so I was like, and if you do it well, like if you really nail a changeover, I am in the air, like I am gone. I am diving before Emma McKeon, who is in the water swimming butterflies, hand is on the wall. Like there is literally my toe on the block as her fingertips touch the wall. And you never see that. So you have to trust that the person in the water is going to do a good touch. But you also have to back yourself that you're like, I'm really going to push this. I'm going to challenge myself. So when it came to the changeover, the Americans were 0.4 of a second ahead of us.
So 0.4, and we already talked about in 15 years, you've only gotten better by 3.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yes, yes. So I mean,
there's a stage here.
There's small margins, but the Americans were 0.4 of a second ahead of us. We ended up winning that gold medal by 2 of a second. My swim time and the American swim time was almost exactly the same. However, my changeover was 0.04. There was 0.04 of a second where Emma McKeon's hand was on the wall and my feet were on the blocks. And so I think it was because I was able to turn and face and acknowledge the emotions of disappointment and heartbreak from 30 minutes earlier, and then put it to a side of my mind, and it could be completely put away because it had been acknowledged and accepted, because it had been seen and heard and recognized, that I could then come back and focus and deliver that performance when it counted. Because if I hadn't taken that risk, if I hadn't thought, oh, I really think that I'm in a shot chance to win this, but I'm going to need a very quick changeover, we wouldn't have won because the Americans' changeover was 0.3 of a second. I was 0.04, she was 0.32, and our winning margin was 0.12. So that was the difference. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's because you practice that idea of accepting, and acceptance requires recognition first.
Mm-hmm. You said risk. I'm glad you said risk, because that was what I wanted to ask you. At least for me personally, if I mess up, I have a tendency to clam up a bit, constrict, like, okay, like let's play it safe for a little bit while this mess up washes over. But you then, I mean, because like if you fall start right there,
we're disqualified.
Yeah, and like you said, you just came in seventh. Like,
that's a really bad day at the office.
Yeah, and it highlights this theme of the small increments, though. Mm. They are, because life is like obviously made up of a bunch of small increments, but there's these moments that are, you know, I don't know like where I'm really going, but there's so much tension in that you can then turn the page on the book, you know, and come back into that acceptance space in that fraction of a second and really give it and then have this amazing success.
Yeah, and look, I would say that I am not a naturally very, you know, risk-hungry person. I am very shy, incredibly introverted, incredibly risk-averse. Like, that is 100% my personality. And so I have learned how to step out of myself, but I've learned to do that through this idea of acceptance, like accepting that whenever I go out and challenge myself, there is an element of risk. And I can remember touching the wall and turning around and seeing that we'd won that gold medal and just being like, oh no, like I know my changeover was close. And so the rest of the girls were celebrating and I was like, just wait, like you have to wait because the results come up as official only after everyone's finished the race. I was like, you have to wait, like my changeover was so close, like you have to wait. And then we waited and then the results became official and it was fine. But again, like I had to, when I was on the block and making that decision, I had to accept that element of risk. Like I had to accept that to push myself or challenge myself to make these small incremental changes, that you have to accept all possible outcomes. Like I had to be okay with it. To be honest, I thought that I didn't think that we were going to win, and being disqualified after winning a gold medal would have been a lot more heartbreaking than being disqualified after winning a minor medal. But I'm glad it paid off.
Do we not even call it a silver? It's just a minor medal?
No. We do call it a silver. Okay. We do call it a silver, but it's way more devastating after, to lose that gold.
Oh, I can't imagine. Bravo. Bravo. American in me is a little tinged, but yeah. I'm happy.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you. I have one more on this topic, and I just want to, because not everyone swims and not everyone runs a 50 meter.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to lose the sight that you get out of that pool, like with still a lot in the tank, I'm assuming, for the 50.
I mean, yes and no. Like, I couldn't go any further at that fast pace, but I could get in and keep swimming.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's like this, like those small increments. It's almost like, is there like any, like that frustration? Am I getting on anything here?
I guess it's like, it's the maximum output for the moment. And like, what I talk about in my performance is getting a best execution. So it's not about the end result. Is the performance that I do, win, lose, draw, come seventh, is it the best representation of the state that I am in at that point? Is it the best representation of the preparation that I put into that performance? Is it the best representation of my current physical state? Is it the best representation of my current mental and emotional state? Because what we don't talk about in sport or in life, really a lot, is that element of luck. And there's so much luck involved. Like, it's this elusive thing that we can't quantify, that we can't grab onto. And I think that when things go well, we diminish its importance. And when things go badly, it's the easy thing to point to.
Yeah.
You know, I had bad fortune, but we don't often say I had really good fortune when I did really well. When in reality, there's the same amount every time. And when you are preparing for something like the Olympics, there is so much luck in the preparation that you have, whether you got ill, whether you got injured, the environment that you're in, how committed all your coaching staff is, their level of expertise. Like, there are so many elements of luck, like and then personally, like, is your personal life happy? Are you healthy? Are you, emotionally well? And then on the day as well, it's like sometimes you just wake up and it's just not your day. And you need it to be, but for whatever reason, your body is like, I am tired, or this old injury that you've got is going to flare up. And so I think that we need to acknowledge the role that luck plays in our lives, and it's a lot more than we think. And we need to be able, if we want to continually improve or continually get the best out of ourselves, we need to shift our focus from outcome to best execution and what that looks like on the day, and recognizing that that can be different on different days.
I just want to thank you for finding the question that I was trying to ask you in there and actually answering it. That is it. Because I'm getting at, a team member that maybe is pitching an idea to a boss, or where you have 30, 45 seconds, right? And the yes or the no could be this small increment. And like you said, preparation, acceptance, and like really valuing not the outcome, but the way you did it can shift the way you feel going into it and therefore how you perform, I think.
Yeah. And, in that example, it could be nothing that you have done. Your boss could be having a really bad day. Maybe he's hangry. And when I get hangry, I say no a lot.
We got almonds.
Excellent. I did see you brought snacks.
Well, Kate, thank you again for talking about small increments. I really enjoyed this chat. Is there anything else that you want to leave the audience with?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. But I would say just don't get disheartened, that in every effort there's value. And just if you're not seeing it immediately, you'll see it come out. Maybe it'll be a different way to what you think.
I love it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Phenomenal Grit, Conversations with the Women of the Ascot Limited.